We gave our waterways quite a bit of abuse for many decades. From white settlement onward, pretty much any stream nearby was fair game for either mining or development or water withdrawal for farming or use as a sewer, sometimes all of the above and more. That's why we've had to put so much work into restoring streams over the years, not just to make them less gross, but to make them places where fish can live and thrive. A restoration project on the south end of Eureka will put money and effort into Martin Slough. Some of the money comes from a federal program, so we have three guests with us. Elijah Portugal is the project coordinator. He's with Natural Resources Services, which is part of Redwood Community Action Agency, the lead agency on this. Hi, Elijah.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Good to have you here today. Bob Pagliuco is with us. He's from NOAA Fisheries, which we used to call the National Marine Fisheries Service, which is the federal component here. Hi, Bob.
Good morning, Jeffrey.
And Joel Gerwine's with us as well from the California Coastal Conservancy. Hi, Joel.
Good morning.
Bob, let's start with you, because I understand that the money comes from a fund of money directed toward coastal resiliency projects. Can you give us the general concept there?
Sure. We've got two major streams of funding that come through the NOAA Restoration Center. One is the community-based restoration program, and the second one, in which the Martin Slough will likely receive funding from, is the Coastal Ecosystem Resiliency Grants Program. It's essentially a program somewhere around $8 to $10 million a year for the last 2 years that we've we're lucky enough to have in our budget that it provides essentially sustainable and long-lasting benefits that will reduce risks posed to coastal community as a result of either extreme weather like we've seen over the last week and changing climate conditions. So essentially, we're looking for projects that'll reduce community issues like flooding, such as Martin Slough, and then also provide habitat ecosystem benefits for our trust resources, which in this case are salmon and steelhead.
And so let's come to Elijah Portugal at the Natural Resources Services of the Redwood Community Action Agency. Give us an idea of the scope of a starter set, really, of points on Martin Slough, what it's about and what the plan is.
Yeah, so this is a really interesting and kind of complicated project. It's got a long project history that goes all the way back to 2001, and so it's really nice to be seeing us in this position now of being able to implement a good phase of it. But, you know, to not get into too many of the details, like Bob was saying, you know, the project's main benefits are going to be for flood control and then for in-stream habitat. So Martin Slough is kind of the lower portion of it is part of the estuary and is actually within the coastal zone. And so what we're going to be doing is basically enhancing the size of the channel. So we're going to be kind of excavating about 8,000 feet of the channel at full build out, and then we'll be allowing to accommodate a larger tidal exchange. So part of the project was to replace some out-of-date tide gates at the very mouth of Martin Slough that were kind of acting as a choke point and not allowing much of a tide to get back into an area that would have normally supported tidal marsh and been very much influenced by regular tidal inundation. So we were able to replace those tide gates in 2014 with the help of NOAA and our other project partners, and now we're at the point of being able to implement some other phases of it. Since it is a large project, we've split it into six different phases. So with the funds from NOAA and our other recent grants from the State Coastal Conservancy and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, we're looking at implementing at least three phases in the next 2 years with the bulk of the work going on this summer.
All right, I'll make it clear. When we're talking about tidal transfer, that's tidal with a D. It sounds like a real estate term the first time you hear it.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, but we are actual tide.
All right, so we're talking about salt water in and out and fresh water in and out as well.
Yep, yeah. And so this area is really pretty unique habitat, and that's part of the reason why folks have been so supportive of this project for as long as it's gone on, is that it already is pretty high-value habitat for coho, and Bob could speak more directly to that. But essentially what we're trying to do is enhance and sort of build on that existing habitat to create more opportunities for overwinter survival of coho.
Joel Gerwine, give us a sense of the Coastal Conservancy and what it does to encourage similar projects like this.
Well,
So we're a state agency that makes grants with bond money and also secures federal funds for projects like this. And we work on restoring habitats like the tidal wetlands in this project area and also protecting lands. You know, we were involved in the Humboldt Community Forest, McKay Tract project in this area as well, and also in providing public access to the coast and coastal habitats. So this project is great for us to be involved in because it offers this opportunity to do a restoration work that provides habitat for coho and other species of concern, while also being, you know, right next to Eureka, where people can really learn about the project and its importance. We're working with the North Coast Regional Land Trust. We helped them acquire the downstream end of this project area, and so they're a great partner, too, in terms of communicating to the public along with the Redwood Community Action Agency and really educating people and letting them see the benefits for wildlife and fish and also for flood control for human communities at the same time.
So will there be places, Joel, along the way where people can look at the slough and get information about what has happened to it and what is being done to it?
You know, I don't think there's a formal kind of public access dedicated for this project, but the thing is that the project area is right along a neighborhood, so there's a public road that goes right next to it, and people can pull out and take a look at the slough and watch things happening there. And then the Eureka Municipal Golf Course is the upstream end of the project area, so people are there all the time, and it's great in a way because it's going to be a different sort of set of people, not people who are necessarily going out just to see you know, fish and wildlife. People who are going out to golf are also going to learn about this project and directly appreciate the fact that they don't have to golf in their waders in the winter as often, and also appreciate the benefits for fish and wildlife at the same time.
We're talking about the Martin Slough Enhancement Project on the south end of Eureka, which is getting potentially funding from the federal government and from some other sources as well to do some work. Well, I mean, the slough itself is not getting the work. The agencies are. The agencies are the Redwood Community Action Agency. We're talking to Elijah Portugal from there. Bob Pagliuco is with NOAA Fisheries. Joel Gerwein, you just heard, us from the California Coastal Conservancy. You can get in on the discussion with questions or comments at 800-838-3760 over the phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So, Elijah, we just talked about the golf course. Then what other kinds of landscapes are there along Martin Slough, and how well can you determine what it was like before people began living near it?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the majority of the project takes place within the valley bottom. So, you know, this is a small coastal sub-watershed that is basically the largest watershed that feeds into the lower Elk River, which has an interesting history. The kind of broader watershed contains the Headwaters Forest Preserve further up in the headwaters. But anyway, this project is taking place down in what would have historically been a tidal marsh environment. So it would have had a really high water table and likely been, you know, basically sort of a braided or threaded environment where there was tidal channels all over the place and just sort of a big, messy wetland bog that is really prime habitat. And again, really unique habitat because so much of that land historically was converted, drained, and channelized to be able to allow dairy farming down there. So the lower watershed currently, like Joel was saying, the upper portion of our project area is owned by the city of Eureka and has the municipal golf course. And then the lower section is owned by the North Coast Regional Land Trust, our project partners, and they lease that land to a cattle operation. So there's a small cattle operation still going on down in the valley bottom, and you know, we're working with the land trust and the lessee to make sure that our habitat enhancements don't impede the ongoing agricultural use of the property. So that's something that, you know, our partners at the land trust are really, it's one of their main goals, you know, is to accommodate a kind of working landscape that can also support fish.
Is there any concern, or has there been over the years, about cow manure getting into the slough?
Well, so you know, water quality is an issue down there. It's a fairly small operation, and they move the cattle around enough to, you know, mainly keep them out of the slough. But that is part of what we're doing too. Is at least on the portion of the project that's going to continue to be grazed, we're going to be building some permanent riparian fencing to make sure that cattle don't get down into those newly restored areas.
Bob Pagliuca, I want to come back to you because we did hear Elijah talking to you about coho habitat, and give us a sense of how coho are doing and what kind of habitat they thrive in best, therefore the kinds of things you're looking to restore.
Sure. In 2014, the National Marine Fisheries Service released a final coho recovery plan to recover the threatened coho for the Southern Oregon and Northern California Coastal Evolutionary Significant Unit, or ESU as we call it. And in that plan, we call for several different habitat restoration actions to try to fix their habitat. And one of the issues, as Elijah had alluded to earlier, is that all that slow water habitat at the bottom end of these watershed drainages has been converted. So when we get these crazy storms in the winter like we've had this last week, the rivers are cranking, and these small fish, these coho juveniles, don't have any place to go to get out of that really fast water, and they exert a lot of energy. So they're spending a lot of their energy just fighting the current, and they don't have any place to go and eat and calm down. So this particular project, we've seen the Department of Fish and Wildlife has been monitoring for about 10 years and has found a lot of the fish that have spawned way up in the Elk River come down here in the wintertime and hang out on the golf course in some of the ponds that are in the golf course. And those fish, we found through monitoring, have been growing about 6 times faster than fish in other adjacent habitats. So this off-channel habitat, the slow water habitat, is very important for this species, and this is definitely a limiting life stage. So the recovery plan that I just mentioned has identified stresses and threats for these animals. And for the Humboldt Bay population in which the Martin Slough Project resides in, the biggest issues there are lack of floodplain and channel structure, and then also an impaired estuary. So this project is very important for NOAA, and that's why we made a recommendation to fund it, because it addresses both of those threats.
Will those ponds on the golf course actually be part of the project?
Yes. They will be providing non-natal rearing habitat for these fish. So it takes a basin to raise a fish. They're spawned up in the watershed where all the gravels are, and then they kind of migrate down there in these big flows to get out of the high water.
So, but the ponds wouldn't have been there if the golf course hadn't been. I'm just trying to figure out how natural the ponds are compared to what was there historically, prehistorically.
Sure.
Can I chime in? Sorry, I just wanted to chime in a little bit to say that, you know, in this is Joel Gerwan. Just in seeking funding for this project and talking to other agencies about it, we had the same reaction where people said, "Are you doing a project to try to build golf course ponds for threatened species? What the heck are you talking about?"
Right.
So I think people do have this reaction that doesn't seem like wildlife habitat. But, you know, Bob can speak to this more, but it's really what has been lost are these wetlands that are in still water wetland areas, slow water areas that are connected to the channel but aren't directly in the channel. So while golf courses weren't, you know, golf course ponds weren't naturally part of these streams, you have these valleys, there were these connected wetlands, marshes, swamps, and ponds that were connected to the channels where, you know, they would get flooded up in high flows, and during those high flows, the fish could get up in there and then get back into the creek. And many of those have been filled in and lost. And so the ponds were kind of serving as an analog for that type of habitat, and the project will be restoring habitat like that isn't your classic golf course pond that's all cleared with turf all around it,
okay,
but you know, is more similar to that than you might think. And Bob, you can probably amplify that or put that better too.
Yeah, Joel, I'm glad you made that distinction. And Bob, we're really talking about creating resting areas for young fish.
Correct. Yeah, but more importantly, we're restoring ecosystem processes. We're allowing a greater tidal exchange to come in. We're providing, you know, wetland habitat that used to be there. So we're trying to restore the processes, and then hopefully by doing that, we're going to be monitoring this project as well, and we're going to see the fish really utilize these opportunities and these different habitats that are going to be created.
We're talking about the Martin Slough Enhancement Project going on the south end of Eureka with the potential for funding from a couple of different sources, including the federal government involved in the project. Bob Pagliuco is with NOAA Fisheries, Joel Gerwine with the California Coastal Conservancy, Elijah Portugal is the project coordinator with the Natural Resources Services of Redwood Community Action Agency. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Let's talk about fish restoration, fish habitat restoration. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Elijah, how much, we're talking about the increasing the channel. We're talking about digging down or making it wider?
A little bit of both. Mostly making it wider, but we will be digging down into the bed a few feet here and there. We did a lot of analysis to come up with the design plans to where we're at now, and you know, a portion of that involved hydraulic analysis as well as hydrologic analysis to essentially try and recreate what we think a sort of historic marsh drainage network would have looked like, given the context of the fact that we're still, you know, maintaining ag operations and you know, having the golf course in the upper project area. So it's not like we can just completely retake the whole valley bottom, but a lot of thought and time went into figuring out kind of what are the best dimensions of the channel and, you know, where does it make the most sense to put these habitat features.
And the total cost of the Martin Slough Enhancement Project is what, more than $2 million, is it right?
Yeah, so for all six phases, it's upwards of around $6
million,
between kind of 5.5 and 6, depending on how you sharpen your pencil. And anyway, so, you know, the funding that we have been recommended for through the NOAA grant and through these other two will really help to will allow us to do a good portion of that project.
And NOAA, Bob, introduced, $8 million in coastal resiliency investments across the country in mid-December. Is it assured that the money will come here, or is it likely it'll come here?
Sure. It's not assured yet. We provided our grants management division with our recommendations, and they're working on that. So there's no awards that are currently in place, but we've made the recommendation and the money is in our budget. We just have to go through quite a few different steps in order to kind of finalize that. But there has been about $8 million worth of awards to 11 different habitat restoration projects around the country. This is a very competitive federal funding opportunity that we had. We got about 53 proposals in and only chose 11. So that speaks to how important this project is here for NOAA nationally and for the North Coast of California.
Is there a real checklist for these projects? I mean, it does this, 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 and this. You get to look at that list and figure out what's getting enhanced here.
Yeah, well, we need to ensure that, you know, there's habitat restoration benefits, that it also increases ecosystem resiliency and reduces flooding, and then it gets reviewed by probably about 7 different reviewers. And then it goes to another panel, a national panel, and then they review them. So it's a very long and transparent process where there's several sets of eyes reviewing these projects, and then decisions are finally made.
And Joel Gerwine, was the Coastal Conservancy able to bring some money of its own in there or assemble other pots of funding?
Yes. Well, we're going to be passing through another federal grant. This one from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's Wildlife Sports Fishery Restoration Program, their National Coastal Wetlands Conservation Grants. So that's a similar, very competitive grant where they provided, I believe it was $17 million in grants this year to 20 different projects across the country. And so we'll be with the State Coastal Conservancy was recommended for that grant for this project, and we'll be passing that through to the project. And then we, our staff is also going to be recommending that our board authorize funding from our state funds, our Proposition 1 funds, which are for water quality and watershed restoration. And the amount of that award has not been determined yet. We'll just depend on the scope and budgets that are developed for these different phases as Elijah said, as people sharpen their pencils and figure out exactly what the cost of these next phases will be.
Elijah, how long has this been in coming, and how long will it take to complete all six phases?
Yeah, good question. So this project is kind of unique in having a really pretty long history, and I just want to take the opportunity right now to give a big thanks to Don Allen, who is my predecessor here at RCAA. He, you know, really put a lot of sweat equity into this project of getting it to the point now where it's become, you know, more attractive to funders to implement it. So, you know, it goes all the way back to 2001. The State Coastal Conservancy, and Joel could speak to this better than myself, but, you know, they've been big, very important project partners since almost the very beginning, and funded the initial kind of feasibility study that has been built upon to get us to the point where we are now. So with, you know, there's obviously a lot of history in there that I won't go into, and kind of a just one kind of interesting detail about this is that within the last maybe 5 years, there were some PG&E gas lines that were found in the project area that pass through the lower portion of the area that we're going to restore, and that became a tricky kind of puzzle piece to figure out how we could move those gas lines. And essentially, PG&E has decided that they'll move them, and they're going to pay the cost for that. And so, we're working really closely with them to coordinate their movement and decommissioning of one of these gas lines.
All right, so lots of help from lots of entities. Clearly, we're talking about the Martin Slough Enhancement Project. Elijah Portugal's the project coordinator. Bob Pagliuco's with NOAA Fisheries. Joel Gerwein with the California Coastal Conservancy. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.